This past week, my husband Forrest and I got to spend some time, both business and pleasure, going in Utah. Now, of course, I expected that we would be hearing all about the history of the Church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints, the Mormons, right, who are headquartered in Salt Lake City. And of course, we did. But what I didn't expect to learn was in this breathtakingly beautiful area was the role that mining of gold, silver, copper, and other minerals played in the development of the state of Utah. Did you know that one Utah mine alone produced 30% of the copper used by the Allies in World War II? Our tour guide also hinted that uranium was a vital element extracted in the mines of Utah, but it's supposedly hush-hush classified information. Mining is not easy work. It takes shifting through 20 to 60 tons of ore, that rock that contains the precious metals, to extract just 1 ounce of gold. The same is true for silver and copper and other elements. And to simplify the process, as I understand it now, you have to dig deep, extract the ore, crush and grind that ore, and employ methods to extract the mineral, then refine the mineral through smelting to obtain finally that pure metal, which can take a few hours to several days. And do you know that it typically takes 10 to 20 years after a deposit is discovered before a gold mine is ready to produce materials? Our scripture lessons today tell us the stories of two men, Peter and Paul, two men with a lot of dirt in their lives. Yet together, they built the foundation of the early Christian church as we know it. On one hand, we have Peter, this humble Galilean fisherman, Paul, a Roman, Greek-speaking citizen, highly trained Pharisee, two people with a zeal and love for Jesus and his gospel. Two men chosen specifically by Jesus to establish his divine purposes on earth, the establishment of love in action of the kingdom of God. Two unlikely men, yet with one thing in common: to reach the gold that they had inside of them, Jesus had to mine away a lot of dirt. In our story from John, we hear how the disciples are traveling back to Galilee to go fishing. Unlike the Last Supper, we can call this the first breakfast, for these are the two meals that bracket Jesus's death and resurrection. So here, after they had breakfast, Jesus takes Peter aside and asks him those three questions: "Do you love me?" It's a startling question that Jesus does not ask anyone else, not his mother, not his beloved disciple of Thomas or Mary Magdalene, just Peter. The Lord, who knows all hearts, knows that Peter loves him. But the most likely question is why Jesus is asking this question is to excavate through the dirt and the mud, because we know that Peter denied Jesus three times on the night of his arrest. Yet Jesus wasn't being vindictive. He wants to clear away the mud and the guilt and shame that Peter feels. And the best way is the direct way. Jesus wants to remind Peter of all that he taught him about love that night of the Last Supper. Remember Jesus's words that, "A new commandment I give to you, to love one another as I have loved you. If you love me, you will obey my command." Three times Jesus emphasized this in his last discourse. So now again, he emphasizes it three times with Peter. And it's to heal Peter. It's to help Peter find gold within. So he says, when Peter says, "Of course I love you," and Jesus tells him, "Then feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep." With Paul, the encounter is no less dramatic. Paul has been, as we know, successfully persecuting the growing Christian movement with encouragement from the high priest of Jerusalem. Acts tells us that Paul, originally named Saul, was fixed to destroy the church. And he dragged people off to prison, and he approved the stoning of the first martyr, Stephen. So feared is Paul that a Jesus follower named Ananias is troubled and fearful of the Lord's instructions to go to Paul. But Jesus reassures Ananias, calls Paul my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles. So underneath that dirt and mud, Jesus knows there's gold there in Paul. And Jesus's faith in both Peter and Paul pay off. Before long, Paul has done a 180 and is proclaiming Jesus, the Son of God. And we know that close to one-third of the New Testament is attributed to Paul's writing or his influence. Jesus knows there's dirt in both these men's lives. However, Jesus also knows there is gold, and he was willing to dig for it. Our text tells us that this is the work of Christ to each one of us in our walk of faith, each one of us called to discipleship. We all sit here together, and we all know that in each of us, there's probably some dirt, huh? We can all relate to that, I'm sure. But you know what? In each one of us, there's also gold as well. Our task is not to be afraid of the hard work it is to push the dirt aside, not to be deterred by failures and setbacks, trusting that down there, believe underneath it all, there is gold in us. And that's what Jesus sees in us, the gold, even before we see it. God sees it. Robbie Dawkins, who is a Christian author and speaker known for his ministry in urban communities, says this in his book, Do What Jesus Did. He says, if I'm talking to prostitutes or a drunk on the streets, I ask the Father, what is in your heart for this person? I often tell people who go out to minister, dig for the gold, not the dirt. Don't try to give words revealing about sin or failures. Nobody who has a gold mine says, look at all the dirt I found. What I pull out of my pockets is, look at all the gold nuggets I found. So you see, this is the same for us because Jesus believes in each of us. Jesus says that each of us is worth the digging to extract that which is precious. Today, some of us may be sitting here feeling all the dirt in our lives or around us. We may feel useless or insignificant, unworthy. We need to see ourselves and each other through the eyes of God, the great prospector, God, the great prospector who sees where we are and sees the precious in us underneath the dirt. Let us dig for gold, not dirt. Let us focus on the gold, not the dross, those impurities that hide the gold from sight. And when all that ore of our lives is processed and the gold of our lives is lifted up, we take that gold of love, of patience, of joy, and spread it throughout the world by serving, by feeding, by tending the sheep of Jesus. So extract the message of love of Jesus that is there within you, that will enable you, me, all of us, to be living gold in a world where love and peace and justice are so desperately in need. And like Peter and Paul, may we always remember that we are God's gold, qualities just waiting to be mined, processed, refined, so that we can all live as God longs to see the world, a new world, holy and precious, that shines with the glory of God. Amen.